fun watching you have fun, and it'll watch you eating dream food until you starve to death. Then the drone will eat you. Not right away, of course. It'll wait until you've gone a wee bit runny, because it has no teeth.
So how can anyone get out?
The best way is to find the drone, said Rob Anybody. It'll be in the dream with you, in disguise. Then you just give it a good kicking.
By kicking, you mean
chopping its head off generally works.
Now, Tiffany thought, I am impressed. I wish I wasn't.
And this is Fairyland, she said.
Aye, you could say it's the bit the tourists dinna see, said William. And you did well. You were fighting it. You knew it wasna right.
Tiffany remembered the friendly cat and the falling shepherdess. She'd been trying to send messages to herself. She should have listened.
Thank you for coming after me, she said meekly. How did you do it?
Ach, we can generally find a way into anywhere, even a dream, said William, smiling. We're a stealing folk, after all.
A piece of the drone fell out of the tree and flopped onto the snow.
One of them won't get me again, said Tiffany.
Aye, I believe you. You have murder in your eyes, said William, with a touch of admiration. If I was a drone, I'd be pretty fearful now if I had a brain. There'd be more of them, mark you, and some of them are cunning. The Queen uses them as guards.
I won't be fooled.
Tiffany remembered the horror of the moment when the thing had lumbered around, changing shape. It was worse because it was in her house, her place. She'd felt real terror as the big shapeless thing crashed across the kitchen, but the anger had been there too. It was invading her place. The thing wasn't just trying to kill her, it was insulting her. William was watching her.
"Aye, you're looking mighty fierce," he said. "You must love your wee brother to face all these monsters for him."
And Tiffany couldn't stop her thoughts. "I don't love him. Why, no, I don't. He's just so sticky and can't keep up, and I have to spend too much time looking after him, and he's always screaming for things. I can't talk to him. He just wants all the time." But her second thinking said, "He's mine. My place, my home, my brother. How dare anything touch what's mine?" She'd been brought up not to be selfish. She knew she wasn't, not in the way people meant. She tried to think of other people. She never took the last slice of bread. This was a different feeling. She wasn't being brave or noble or kind. She was doing this because it had to be done, because there was no way that she could not do it. She thought of Granny Aching's light, weaving slowly across the downs on freezing, sparkly nights, or in storms like a raging war, saving lambs from the freezing frost or rams from the precipice. She froze and struggled and tramped through the night for idiot sheep that never said thank you and would probably be just as stupid tomorrow and get into the same trouble again. And she did it because not doing it was unthinkable. There had been the time when they met the peddler and the donkey in the lane. It was a small donkey and could hardly be seen under the pack he'd piled on it, and he was thrashing it because it had fallen over. Tiffany had cried to see that, and Granny had looked at her and then said something to Thunder and Lightning. The peddler had stopped when he heard the growling. The sheepdogs had taken up position on either side of the man, so that he couldn't quite see them both at once. He'd raised his stick as if to hit Lightning, and Thunder's growl grew louder.
"I'd advise you not to do that," said Granny.
He wasn't a stupid man. The eyes of the dogs were like steel balls. He lowered his arm.
"Now throw down the stick," said Granny.
The man did so, dropping it into the dust as though it had suddenly grown red hot. Granny Aching walked forward and picked it up. Tiffany remembered that it was a willow twig, long and whippy. Suddenly, so fast that her hand was a blur, Granny sliced it across the man's face twice, leaving two long red marks. He began to move, and some desperate thought must have saved him, because now the dogs were almost frantic for the command to leap.
"Hurts, don't it?" said Granny pleasantly. "Now, I knows who you are, and I reckon you knows who I am. You sell pots and pans, and they ain't bad, as I recall. But if I put out the word, you'll have no business in my hills. Be told. Better to feed your beast than whip it. You hear me?"
With his eyes shut and his hands shaking, the man nodded.